PukeAndTheGang.com presents The Break Show.
One more person has to start running, and then we can have a running podcast. Only.
When I run, my body's angry.
So Andrew does this race thing on Sundays where he does this car around cones. And I always wanted that after all the cars were done running, we would all line up and we would race the autocross track on foot. But I only wanted to do that because I'd probably win. But there was that one time I was there last time. And there were two guys, and one of them was wearing a cross-country shirt, and one of them was wearing a track shirt. I'm like, oh.
A track shirt?
They could probably beat me. Remember when we ran into that kid in the restaurant, and he was a cross-country runner, and I said, look at my 5K time, and he said, well, that's okay. What a loser.
Where's that live stream on the internet?
PukeAndTheGang.com/live. Or patgpodcast.com/live.
Or I'm going to do PATG because I'm not sure if it's and or ampersand.
I think you do know, but it's okay. Can you even have an ampersand in a domain?
I can answer that, but you won't be entertained by the answer.
I think the answer is no. I mean, you can have it in the after the slash, just not in the... I'm not
allowed to take a phone call right now?
No.
Hello?
Only if it's from the wife and you put it on speaker.
Are you butt dialing me? Hello? I'm going to text you.
I'm really into this new song, but it's a really old song. And I just heard it for the first time.
I think you're stunned.
Let's talk about technology with Trevor. Tech with... Ooh! Do you want to start a podcast that's called Trevor Tech? And we're going to get you on Patreon?
Bring it on.
So, what do you think of the Internet of Things?
It's mostly creepy. My wife won't let me even have an Alexa in the house because she's, I think, rightly concerned about it listening all the time.
It does listen all the time, but who cares?
That's how we learn about you.
You know, when you watch that movie, I think it's Hackers or something, it was made in the
Hackers.
80s, and they're like, I'm going to get on the internet, and I'm going to turn on the fire alarms. And you're just like,
right?
I mean, obviously those aren't connected to the internet. This is ridiculous. But like,
they weren't then, yeah.
Now they are.
Yeah.
I don't want to live in that world, but we do.
Too late, unless you want to become an African and live in one of those communes.
Is that where all the communes are, Africa?
Well, nobody knows because they're uncontacted, so no one has contacted them
to find out
where they are.
I think those are just... uncontacted villages.
That same thing. I think all of Africa is an uncontacted village. Contacted?
I love that they can count the number of uncontacted villages. Anyway. So...
All right, now Brett will ask a question about... Oh, sorry. What did you have?
Well, so I just think the Internet of Things is creepy. I don't really want my smartphone to be able to unlock my house. It's bad enough if I lose my smartphone, then I've just lost my house.
Oh, I mean, sure, someone can hack your lock to get to your house.
I just feel like if they do it with a sledgehammer, it's breaking and entering. But if they do it with my smartphone, that's just me being an idiot and leaving my smartphone unlocked. I'm not sure how it holds up in court.
I'm pretty sure most hacking goes down like this. Hey, honey, it's me, Trevor. What's the password for the house again? Okay, thanks.
Social engineering.
But it would be me. Yeah, that's the term.
I think you're right that that's the most common thing. When you get the email from the prince of some African country. And
yes.
Social engineering.
And Brett, now you ask a question of Trevor, technically related.
I have this new man voice on.
Okay.
Do you know a new man?
Not really.
Okay.
But I enjoy what's happening right now.
He's an evil AI from the future, but I'm going to switch mics.
Okay.
Which would have been perfect. I missed most of the Wikipedia conversation, unfortunately.
Yeah, so we won't talk about Wikipedia now because that was in the first half. But you can ask him another tech-related question.
Like about any tech subject that I
anything.
Want?
Just think of something.
Oh, gosh.
We're going to quiz him.
How do you feel about Ethereum? That's a very open-ended question.
I feel like I should have bought it earlier.
Are you buying it now?
No, because now I feel like I've missed the wave.
Everyone keeps thinking they've missed the wave. Right. When there's no way for you to know, and there was no way for you to know 2 months ago.
Yeah, I know. And a good friend of mine, you know, bought Bitcoin super, super cheap, and then eventually turned a lot of it around and was able to, you know, make out real well. And I thought, you know, it'd be great if I could go back in time. And then Ethereum comes up, and you're like, oh, my gosh, this is like a new opportunity. But
yeah, so you're just as dumb now as you were then.
I mean, I think instead of me buying Ethereum, I was buying something, which made me have less money instead of more. Ooh. So that was probably stupid.
That's interesting.
But you're not going to say what?
Because it's I don't know, something on Amazon? I feel like I'm addicted to Amazon.
Oh, you're just buying things.
Yeah, just buying things so you have less money.
I'm
going
to need you to bookmark, go to schoolsucksproject.com and click the Amazon link and then bookmark that and shop through there.
Is that similar to smile.amazon.com where you hook it up to a charity, or is that just an affiliate link?
It's just an affiliate link.
Okay.
So I recommend that to people like Puke, who shops on Amazon a lot. But, you know, I can walk you through that sometime.
I know how that works. That'd be great.
Yeah, that'd be terrific.
I know that, like, I use smile.amazon.com to give to the Free State Project, and I've given over $140 now.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Which, I don't know. They give, like, some, you know, a penny on the dollar or something, penny on the $100. I don't know what it is, but, you know, eventually it got to some amount.
Did you buy your whole building kit on Amazon?
I didn't, but the biggest thing I've ever bought on Amazon was all the appliances for a kitchen remodel I did when I was living in California.
Oh, wow.
The refrigerator, the oven, stovetop combo, and the dishwasher, everything. And they shipped it across the country for free. It was Prime.
Yeah, Prime's great.
I was like, you shipped a refrigerator to me for free. And it was $400, $500 cheaper than buying at Best Buy locally. So that's why they call Best Buy the Amazon showroom.
Right, because you can go there and look at stuff and then buy
and then
it on
go
Amazon.
Get a good deal somewhere
else. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. I like eBay. You know, you never know what you're going to find.
I've just had such bad experiences buying and selling on eBay.
Really? Buying?
Yeah. So buying, you buy it and then they never send it to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I've never had that happen.
And with selling, I remember I went to a tech conference, and if you sat through a two-hour crash course on how to develop an Android application, and they would give you a Nexus phone, which is, at the time, you know, I don't know, $400 or something for this phone, at least. And so, sounds great, but I just bought a new phone, so I didn't really need this phone. So I took it home, just like probably almost everyone in that room, and I put it on eBay and sold it. And then the guy claimed that it never came. And then PayPal wouldn't give me or took the money from me. And I had no device and no money. It's a tragedy.
That does sound like a standard internet shit.
I kind of felt like it was karma, though, because easy come, easy go. Right. Here I am trying to, you know, hawk some phone someone who was nice enough to give me.
Yeah. I don't
know. So, I don't know. I let it go.
Karma's no such thing, and if it was, I'd be screwed. Andrew,
I just mean conceptually.
What? Now you will ask Trevor a technically related question.
To phones?
No. To anything tech related.
Okay. What does Wikipedia...
Nope. Not Wikipedia. Oh. Anything but Wikipedia. Sorry.
You didn't hear the ground rules earlier, so
okay.
You're forgiven.
We're quizzing him on general tech now.
3D printers, are they going to revolutionize the world like every libertarian thinks they are?
Only if the future world is built entirely out of flimsy plastic.
Nice.
Okay. I agree and disagree.
We don't care. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know, you're putting me on the spot. So, 3D printing's been around for a much longer time than everyone thinks it has. And secondly... it's not flimsy plastic anymore.
Okay, fair enough. And I realize that you can use 3D printing technology with more durable materials, including metal. And the really exciting idea is that we can go and put a machine into space and it can build its own parts in space by mining things off an asteroid and, you know, building the rest of it. I think the thing about 3D printing that's great is that, you know, you can sort of make something... In that sort of way, like it makes us, you can make parts you couldn't normally mill and everything.
Yeah, geometries that you couldn't produce with any other technology.
But I have a hard time with it, because a lot of times when you build a part, you don't just need the part. You need it to be built in a certain way, extruded or cast or something for certain strength and mm-hmm. weight and other kinds of properties. And so if you really only have like this one way of creating the object, then that only works if you need that kind of object. So I'm being a little bit glib when I'm saying, oh, yeah, if the future is made out of flimsy plastic, but even if it's made out of, you know, a slow cast metal or whatever, that only is going to have certain kinds of strength properties, and you're going to end up having everything have to be made on one of 20 different printers that do things in different ways. It just seems a little complex to me still.
Yep. So here are the high points. Now, strength, material properties, capabilities, not really an issue anymore with 3D printing. That's all been taken care of as long as your wallet is thick enough to buy a good enough machine. However, the applications that are really the most crucial for 3D printing and the most beneficial is mass customization, rapid time to part in hand relative to, you know, sending a drawing or a prototype down to a machine shop. You know, you can do things overnight that you would have to take weeks to do in the past, and for much, much cheaper and quicker. But tooling, jigs, fixtures, customization, you know, prototyping and getting your idea refined, that's all the sweet spots for 3D printing. It's not like you're going to go to Walmart and just walk up to a kiosk and 3D print yourself a toaster. That's not going to happen. But more than likely, a lot of the tooling used to create that toaster very well could have been 3D printed.
I guess for mass production, it's not a great process.
No.
And for short-term, you know, for
short-run production,
it's great. But I don't know. I guess I call me skeptical, but if you look at the way like ink printers work,
mm-hmm.
where like the machine is basically like a loss leader, and then they charge you an extreme amount for the ink. I mean, it feels to me like what's going to end up happening with 3D printing is the mass produced machines. They're always going to get you on the material, and so you're kind of your appeal to it being a low cost way. They'll figure out a way to bring the price to what it'll bear, which is the market effect, which I'm fine with. But it's just since it's such a specialty thing, man, it's always going to be expensive.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, and that is true in some cases, especially if we go back in time 18 years or so. Where there were some machines that, sure, they had a hefty price tag, $30,000, but the consumables were quite expensive and the end product was pretty shitty. But nowadays, you could get machines that are just a few thousand dollars, which is not much money at all for a 3D printer, and you can get materials that are pretty high-quality materials for pretty damn cheap, and you can get them from third parties. And on top of that, even if we look at some machines that have a fairly high cost of operation, like some of the machines I sell, the cost of material per cubic inch might be fairly expensive, like $12 per cubic inch. That's pretty expensive for a cubic inch of material. There's very few materials out there that could be that expensive.
Yeah.
Right, for a simple cubic inch. I mean,
gold.
That's a lot more
thanks.
Per cubic inch.
Yeah. But, however, it all depends on the application. So, injection molding. That's a very cheap way to manufacture a lot of parts, right? But that injection mold, that actual mold, is fairly expensive, so it creates a barrier to entry. But with this material that I just talked about being $12 per cubic inch, you can actually 3D print an injection mold. So before you go and spend $40,000 to get your mold made, you can actually test it to make sure it's the design you want, that it's going to work well, that your part that you're injection molding is going to come off the way you want it, and you can reiterate it for a couple hundred dollars per mold as opposed to several tens of thousands.
And I guess the thing is, when you're making short run, you can sacrifice things like efficiency, and that's fine. But I don't know. My skepticism comes from this idea that, like, when they build a spaceship, for instance, every single part is extremely optimized. And if they're like, well, we can just send this 3D printer into space and it can just, you know, make it there, it's like, yeah, but the kind of parts you're going to need for a spaceship are going to have extremely low tolerances. And
You're not going to have structural parts that are 3D printed on a space shuttle.
Most people who get a 3D printer today still can't make a Lego that'll snap in cleanly.
But that's because you're working with most 3D printers that you hear about or see are toys, essentially. But
the $1,000 one at Home Depot, which is what, you know,
that's a toy.
It's a, sure, but it can't even make a toy that works with your other toys.
Right. Uh-huh. But go up to a $10,000 toy, still, you're still talking the very low end of the market. That $10,000 machine stuff is going to snap fit together the way
sure,
it's intended.
Absolutely.
It's going to be dimensionally accurate. But
I want one of those.
The 3D print, I have one in the garage right now. It's $20,000.
That's exciting.
All you need is money.
Sounds like you guys agree.
But on the space station, that 3D printer will be very well capable of printing out a new toilet handle that they broke off in anger one day. For example.
Does that happen a lot?
What, you don't bust off your toilet handle?
There's no toilet because the water would just float up.
When you miss the chute and your poop's floating around, you're like, fucking toilet, space, toilets.
All right, sounds like you guys agree. Short runs are great. Long run's still not going to work. Got to do that injection mold, but you'll short run the injection mold just to test it to save money on the thing. All right. Fascinating.
That was some pretty solid nutshell.
Yeah. Sounds like you understood it quite well.
Where is all of Wikipedia's email hosted?
Well, Google.
GeoCities.
You guys use, what is it?
We use Google Apps for business, okay. And we get a discount or it's free or something like that because we're nonprofit. I forget what the deal is exactly.
What? Why don't you just call them and go, it's us, Wikipedia? Can we have some email? And I mean, Google goes, oh, it's
on several occasions, sure. they've donated millions of dollars to the Wikipedia Foundation, so I doubt that there's...
Okay, so...
Yo, Goo, it's Wick.
Yeah.
I just switched.
I doubt they're making a lot of money on us if we're even paying it all.
Oh, right. Yeah. I just switched my whole company to Office 365.
How's that been?
Oh, it's been fine for a week so far. Someone wanted to quote me like $4,000 to $5,000 in labor to do it. Some engineer. I was like, I think I'll figure it out myself.
I feel like
so I YOLO'd it and I just switched everyone over.
Isn't that always how it is with Microsoft products though? It's like it's fine for a week so far. And then you never hear a good thing after that.
No, I did a lot of research. Office 365 has a lot of good reviews.
Except
for OneDrive.
I'm not saying that I think all the Google products are impeccable. I actually think they neglect them a lot. But I spent a lot of time as a software engineer writing a text editor that's a visual text editor. And so we would often compare our product to Google Docs, and we would find Google Docs had a lot of issues that we couldn't even imagine leaving in our product when you get to that level of detail. So,
wrote a text editor?
A visual text editor that's used on Wikipedia, yes.
Oh, right. Okay, I see.
It's a WYSIWYG wiki text editor.
Sure. Okay, I get it. Cool.
This hurts my brain.
I know. So do cars. I just wanted to talk about Office 365 migration.
What's WYSIWYG?
What you see is what you get. Solid with the acronyms today. I like that.
Oh, whenever I hear an acronym, I ask Nick what it means.
What you see is what you get. It's WYSIWYG today.
Except one day I did tell Nick what an acronym was, and it was today I learned.
No, what?
Yeah, I told you what that meant.
GTFO.
I've known what that is since
BMW.
Should we quiz him on acronyms and see if we can stump him?
No.
TCPIP.
TC. So it's
ice cream.
Transport Control Internet Protocol.
You're getting close.
Shit.
Transmission Control Protocol Internet Protocol. I honestly, that was a good attempt.
Listen, I studied for the Network Plus, and then I never took it.
Wait. What's the difference between IPv4 and IPv6? And where did 1, 2, 3, and 5 go?
About 20,000 billion addresses, for one.
NASA.
That's about it.
Much bigger namespace, that's true.
What about NASA?
There are a lot of IPv6 technologies that are kind of bundled under the umbrella of IPv6. I'm not going to get into most of it, both because I just have a cursory knowledge of it and because it's very boring, low-level technical stuff. But IPv6 is... potentially not just better because there's more addresses, but it's a lot faster.
Okay.
So all I know about it is when I go to set up machines on a network,
yeah,
I have to go into IPv4.
Right.
And you're punching in the 4.
And setting my...
8-bit numbers.
Yeah.
Because nobody internally is using IPv6.
Right.
That would just be for the public namespace. Yeah. I'm just making stuff up, actually. I'm pretty sure I'm right, but I'm not 100% sure. I don't think anyone would use V6 internally, right? Right? No one would use V6 internally. That'd be crazy.
Completely crazy.
There's no point.
I don't see why you'd need to. You have enough address space.
Right.
Obviously. AWACS.
Yeah, the goddamn EPA is taking away all the V6s.
Was that another acronym you want him to decode?
Yeah.
What?
AWACS.
Is he pronouncing Ajax as if it's a soft J?
Ajax.
AWACS.
I don't have any clue.
It's the Airborne Warning and Control System aircraft.
That's not
tech-related.
That has nothing
to do with computers.
Oh!
Well, it sounds pretty techy, but it's not computers.
I went into military acronyms.
I wish I were a jock and a nerd at the same time.
Aviation is pretty nerdy.
Jerd.
But I agree, it's not really tech. I don't know. I actually wanted to go into aviation when I was younger, but then I realized you had to go to school. And with tech...
That you do.
I didn't have to go to school, and so...
What?
Wait. No, you just learn it.
You don't have... I never went to college. Right.
What?
That doesn't work if you're a lawyer or a doctor.
Correct.
What is the best website hack you've done?
I'm not really a hacker. And it's really annoying when people kind of pretend to be a hacker. So I don't want to be that guy. I mean, so I'll just tell you.
Yeah. Is that okay. Nick? Is that you?
No.
Are you kind of pretending to be a hacker?
Oh, pretending to be. Oh, yeah. I pretend to be a hacker. I really know nothing. Well, the best thing I've hacked was this gay porn site to get a free gay porn without having to pay in Bitcoin.
Go away, Baton.
Of somebody you know.
How broad of a brush are we using for the word hack here?
Like, obviously pretty broad.
I had to view the page source.
Comedically as well.
Broad? I had to view the page source.
Okay.
I had to figure out where the file was hosted and guess it and then get it directly rather than paying the Bitcoin to get the link.
Okay, so if that qualifies as hacking, then there was this time where I was trying to order something from some website. I forget what it was. I think it was Home Depot's website or something.
Uh-huh.
And their website was broken, and I was able to use the developer tools to fix the website to place my order.
Nice.
And I felt very good about myself.
I just thought of another one. There was this site called Milesplit, and it tells you all of the times for people in the state, but you have to sign up. But when I requested the instruction, like when I requested the rankings of the high schoolers in the state for running, it sent it to me, but then it obscured it with CSS and asked me to pay. So yes. I just turned off all the CSS and I could see it no problem.
What does CSS mean?
Cascading style sheets. I thought we were all going to say it together.
Very good.
I'm writing code right now. That's one of my classes. Fucking web. I hate it.
I love CSS.
I hate code.
It's another one of those job security technologies where very few people understand it very well. It's a pain in the butt to get it to work properly. So if you're one of those people who can do that magic trick, you got a job.
I tried to pay a guy in Pakistan on Fiverr.com to build my last website. And he fucked me. And then I had to do it myself. It was just so annoying.
Now you have some weird Pakistani gonorrhea.
Puke had to do his homework himself.
I know. Stupid college. I should find somebody on Fiverr to write me a book report for this week.
All right. Well, I could keep talking tech all day long, but I suppose we should move Izzle.
Boo! This is the very high-tech portion of the show where we make a visual cue in Audacity so we can find where to edit.
It was too funny. I couldn't stop.
It's a solid 150 hertz tone there. You just busted out. I really appreciate the stability of that frequency.
This philosophical reflection has been made possible by PukeInTheGang.com. Listen to more nonsense, poop stories, and jokes and shit like that at iTunes under Puke and the Gang.